Ooh, Ezekiel, we could do the
Wheel
Valley
in the Sky.
Valley of Dry Bones. What was it?
The Wheel in the Sky.
We could do the Wheel in the Sky.
Wheel in the Sky. Yeah.
That journey.
Journey.
Okay. I was familiar. I didn't look at you like that because I didn't know what the song was.
Okay,
oh,
never mind.
That was Journey. Welcome back, everyone, to the Beyond Sunday podcast. This is Patrick Nazaroff, and with me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How you doing, Patrick?
And Katie Phillips.
Hello, Patrick.
Hi, Katie. Well, welcome, everybody. Today, we have a special treat for you.
Ice cream.
We do have ice cream. It's at home in your fridge.
In your fridge?
Well, your freezer.
You now have milk.
That's sweet milk.
Sweet milk.
You know, but we do have a special treat.
We do.
Yes.
It's not ice cream.
It's not ice cream. Today, we have an interview with...
Yeah, we do.
Another podcast.
Ooh.
Yes.
Very meta.
Yes. Bible Besties.
Podcasts about podcasts.
We have Bible Besties.
We do.
And tell us a little bit about Bible Besties, because you did the interview, and you and Katie did the interview.
Yeah. Posted. So Katie and I got a chance to talk to Pastors Alex and Lorne. They're the hosts of Bible Besties. They started Bible Besties, I think, almost a year ago now, and have been working through the Bible one story at a time and are doing kind of creative storytelling around the stories of the Bible. So they just finished Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be sure to link to their Genesis supercut, where you can kind of hear some of the highlights from their Genesis episodes. So we're talking to them a little bit about what it's like to retell stories of the Bible in a creative way, what that means for their process of interpretation, what that means for how we treat this book that we would call sacred scripture, and things like that. So yeah, it was really, I found it to be a really great conversation. Mm-hmm. I hope our listeners will as well.
Ooh, okay. I hope so too. But before we get there, we are going to talk, just our team here, a little bit about the Bible and how we approach that. But before we get there, Chris Pratt.
Ooh.
We've talked about him before.
Mm-hmm. We have.
He's in the news again.
Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast, yes.
Chris, we know you're listening.
Yes.
Here's to you, man.
Yes. Friend of the podcast. He has been on the news cycle lately.
Again.
And he's publicly, or through Twitter, been feuding with Ellen Page about his church. But we're not going to actually talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We're going to talk about his appearance on Stephen Colbert, where he talked about going through this... diet called the Daniel Diet.
Mm-hmm. The Daniel Diet.
Yes. Are you familiar with the Daniel Diet?
I am familiar with the book of Daniel, yes. In which there is a diet.
Are you familiar with dieting?
Is that what he's referencing?
That is. So this was somewhat popularized by Pastor Rick Warren, who's author mm-hmm. of
Excellent.
Like the purpose-driven
uh-huh.
church, life, anything that's purpose-driven. I'm sure he's had his
yep,
hand
he's
in.
Behind it.
Yeah. And he popularized this
purpose-driven
Daniel
car.
Diet. Yes.
Purpose-driven airplane.
Yes. Well, if you're in an airplane purposely driving it, it's, you know, nobody's like casually just cruising
right.
in their 747s.
Anyway, so Rick Warren publishes yeah. The Purpose-Driven Diet.
No. The Daniel Diet.
Sorry, the Daniel Diet.
And it is based on the book of Daniel. So if you're unfamiliar with the book of Daniel, all right, why don't you read to us... the passage.
Yeah, so this
Daniel.
Is from Daniel chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 8.
But
Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the royal rations of food and wine. So he asked the palace master to allow him not to defile himself. Now God allowed Daniel to receive favor and compassion from the palace master. And then we're going to fast forward a little bit, and we're going to see that the king agrees to this proposal to test them for 10 days. And so Daniel had said, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. You can then compare our appearance with the appearance of the young men who eat the royal rations and deal with your servants according to what you observe."
Okay, there you go. That's the Daniel diet.
Veggies and water.
Veggies and water.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem... groundbreaking.
Yeah, like, oh wow, that is water.
You want to be a vegetarian, or I guess vegan in this case. You want to be vegan.
Sure.
Yeah. So good for you, man.
I did look up some people commenting on their Daniel diets prior to this. And they were even very specific about what kind of water you should be drinking. Spring water.
Scripture does not specify.
I don't think Daniel had spring water.
I mean, he probably had water from a spring.
Yeah. It's probably not the same as Ozarka.
It's probably not Ozarka. It probably was not in a plastic bottle, if that's what you define as spring water.
I will say, probably.
It was not Perrier.
Yes. So there you go. So, Daniel diet. Have you ever done the Daniel diet?
Have I ever just eaten vegetables and drank water?
Yeah.
Not to my knowledge.
Not intentionally, at least. Yeah. maybe for a meal.
And even then, it was probably against my will. Yes. Yeah.
No.
We used to have a meatless days at camp when I was working as a camp counselor, where we'd like go one day and we wouldn't serve meat with any of the meals to help kids kind of think about what is it like to eat meals that don't just have meat in it. But we'd have like beans and rice and pasta and sauce and things like that. So it was definitely not just vegetables, and we had juice and things other than water, which I guess juice is basically just sugar water. Maybe he was drinking sugar water. I don't know.
Maybe.
It doesn't say sugar water. So
does not say that.
Yeah, it says water. I'd have to look at the Hebrew to see if sugar water is in there, but it's only translated as water.
Water.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Water.
Well, I think it's interesting because I'm familiar with this passage in Daniel too, but like the diet is not the point of this passage of Daniel.
No.
Like, it's not like this is like, it doesn't seem like this is like dieting techniques being played out here. Like, it's obedience is the point of Daniel. Like, that's what I would say that's the takeaway. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting, you know, like, it's this movement that it's like, oh, well, we'll look at the Bible and see, like, it mentions some guy eating water and vegetables. And at the end, spoiler alert, Daniel looks great.
Yep.
He's healthier than everybody else.
Gains favor in the eyes of the king.
Yes. And be like, oh, that's the secret. Just eat fruit. Just eat vegetables and drink water.
Yeah.
And not to say that I think there's anything wrong with that diet. I think there's probably, you know, some legitimate health benefits that you could do by doing a Daniel fast. But I think, like, this idea of, like, do this and therefore, like, you're unlocking something secret in the Bible is kind of a weird way to approach scripture.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't seem like the way Daniel, I mean, like you said, it's not the purpose of the story. Like, this is one verse, like what I just read for us is one verse out of, you know, many chapters of Daniel and a long story that goes on to tell of Daniel's career. It goes on to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and who are also on the Daniel diet at the time. Yeah. They're part of his friends who do this. So this is a menial part of the story at best. Yeah, I mean, what do you all think? Do we, when we read scripture, what are we expecting to get out of it? When we just open the Bible, here it is. What do we do with it now? What do we think we're expecting to get out of it?
I mean, I go to the Bible for guidance. I let it speak to me. Like, what do I hear? What do I take away? How can I apply this to my life today?
Mm-hmm.
You can also look at it as a historical document. Like, what were things happening back?
Sure.
You know, I mean, they're depends on what you're going to it for.
Yeah.
You know, really.
You know, Martin Luther, back in the early 1500s, took the Bible that at the time was only available in Latin and translated it into the language of the people. Mm-hmm. And so for the first time, people could have the Bible in their homes and could read the Bible for themselves in a language that they understood.
Sure.
And I think there's a lot of really good things that happened because of that. I think this took power away from people who were corrupt. I think it allowed people to, you know, own their faith in a deeper and meaningful way. But it's also a really dangerous thing to read scripture. Like, scripture is powerful, and we can go wrong fast by thinking, hey, look, here is this secret diet, and if we just do that, then we're going to have everything that we need.
Yeah, I think in some ways, it's easier instead of saying, what are we opening the Bible to read, to examine? How should we not be opening the Bible to read?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this idea of like a Daniel diet is thinking like the purpose of Daniel again is not dieting techniques, or like it's not written as those things. It's not even really written as a like manual or rule book for life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we get in trouble, is when we kind of come into scripture and place upon it things that it itself is not claiming to be. Like saying it's a scientific textbook, or it's a dieting textbook, or it's a manual on life textbook. And it's not those things. It's not even a textbook.
Right.
And I think sometimes we approach it that way, and that always is not going to, or that's going to lead us to a lot of trouble, I think.
Yeah.
Or a lot of things that are difficult. I think instead of looking at it as a textbook, you know, the Bible is more helpful to look at it as a window, a glimpse into the heart and character of God and how God operates within people.
Yeah.
You know, and so in some parts that window can be very, very clear, and some parts that window may be very, very dirty and difficult to look through and see what's on the other side, to see God in the midst of it. But I think the Bible, that's really what I think it is. It's a glimpse into the heart and character of God and how he operates in this world.
Yeah. What I like about that, Patrick, is that it allows us to have space to say stories from the Bible do not have to be factual in order to carry truths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think there are a lot of stories in the Bible that are factual, that are historical, that we could point to and say, hey, this really happened this way. But there are also elements that, whether or not they were historical periods of time and mm-hmm. they physically took place in the way they're described, they carry a truth about the nature of God and about the nature of God's relationship with us that is more powerful than that. You know, when we read... When we read Aesop's fables, like the tortoise and the hare, nobody's surprised when we say, well, that didn't really happen.
Yeah.
But there's still truth in the story. There's a lesson that can be learned about how we exist as humanity. And the Bible conveys similar truths through the stories, regardless of what, of how we understand that. Yeah.
The parables that Jesus tells, like not all of those were true stories. They were teaching
Jesus was making them up. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that comes from this place. And typically when I learned about scripture, you know, it was kind of like, this is a book made up of many, many books that all sometimes have different literary styles. Mm-hmm. You know, there's history, there's poetry, there's prophecy, there's allegory, there's visions of the past, future, sometimes biography. Mm-hmm. And those are all at play. But I think sometimes we think that like each of those is like neatly placed in the Bible in certain categories. Mm-hmm. Kind of like if you went to like a garden nursery here in town and you're like, I was looking for, you know, roses. Yep. They would all be neatly placed together.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then next to them, neatly placed together, is trees. And next to that is bushes, so forth and so forth. Mm-hmm. But the Bible is more really like going into a forest. And all those things are just everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so as you read it, you're reading history and poetry and allegory and biography all kind of together.
Yeah.
It's really more of an exploration than it is kind of neat and clean, or as neat and clean as sometimes we want it as people.
Yeah, and you're reading history told as poetry.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And, so we're reading things in a context that we are not familiar with. Because when we look at, you know, our history class about World War II, we don't expect our history textbook to have a poem.
Sure.
Right.
You know, maybe there's like a poem from that time period or something like that. Yeah. But our history textbook is not going to produce metaphors about World War II. It's going to be an explanation of these are the facts. And that's just not how they understood history at the time that scripture was being written.
Yeah. So in scripture too, like, you know, one of the things people are going to ask coming into the scriptures is like, what version of the Bible should I be reading? Because there's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever been to a Bible bookstore, you'll know. There's a lot
of
different translations. So what wisdom do we have here of like what version of the Bible should you be reading?
Original languages.
So only in Greek and Hebrew.
Greek and Hebrew, yeah. Which is why I can only read the New Testament because I was bad at Hebrew. So,
yikes.
Yes. There's a lot of good translations out there. I think you've got to take time to kind of study a little bit of the background of the different versions and what you're trying to gain out of it.
Yeah.
So in the Lutheran Church, most broadly, we use what's called the New Revised Standard Version.
Sure.
That's not an international thing by any means, but that's most commonly what churches use. English Standard Version is another one. It's very similar to the NRSV. That'd be known as the ESV. The New International Version, or the NIV, is probably the other major one that most people are familiar with. I'd say those are like the top three right now, as far as within the Protestant realm-ish, what most people are familiar with. King James and New King James are certainly out there.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I don't know that there's a wrong version of the Bible. There are versions that I prefer because I think they are more helpful at getting at certain aspects. Mm-hmm. But there are times where, you know, I've got five or six different versions on my shelf in my office. And so there are times where I prefer an NRSV translation, or there are times when I prefer an NIV translation. And there are times when I go back and look at the Greek and I say, neither of these are capturing what I feel like is here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, and all those translations are coming from a different point of view or place. Like, some of them are kind of a word-for-word translation.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, and that would be more the ESV or NRSV, is more word-for-word. Sentence for sentence or concept for concept is more NIV.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also, like, a paraphrase. Mm-hmm. That would be, like, the Message.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the most popular paraphrase out there.
Yeah.
And they all can be useful. I mean, like, obviously, a word-for-word translation is very useful until you're talking about a concept that doesn't make any sense in a word-for-word translation. Mm-hmm. I was just in Peru a few months ago, and one of the kids down there, Peruvian kids, was like, I just don't understand American slang. Because when I hear, it's a piece of cake, that makes no sense to me. Right. And so a word-for-word translation of that is ludicrous in a different culture or context. Mm-hmm. So sometimes having a concept or a sentence for sentence helps with those kind of, you know, the Bible is going to be filled with its own metaphors that won't make sense in our own cultural context. So I think, yeah, instead of approaching scripture of like, it's like a baseball bat where you just pick your one bat that you use no matter what. Mm-hmm. It's more of like a golf club where each each one has value depending on what you want to do and what you're trying to learn. And really, the best golfers or the best Bible scholars are familiar with every one of their clubs. Yeah. They're not just like, this is the one I like, so I just go out there and use my 9-iron for everything. Mm-hmm. Like, that you'd be a terrible golfer. So I think as a scripture reader, really opening up a lot of different Bibles to look at one passage can be very, very helpful of understanding what was the intent there.
Well, the nice thing with the advent of the internet, right, is that we can have access to all of these versions for free in moments. I mean, if you have not ever checked out BibleGateway.com, it's got, I think, like 30-plus English alone versions. Yeah. And you know, it's a quick way to say, if you're reading something and you're in an NRSV, for instance, and you're like, huh, this just doesn't make sense. It's a quick and easy thing to pull out a phone or pull out a computer and see what are some other options for this. Because every person does not need to become a biblical scholar in order to read the Bible faithfully. But we do need to be aware of the challenges and limitations of what we're writing. You know, I had a professor in college who was my Greek professor. So he was teaching us how to translate things from Greek into English. And he was famous for saying all translators are liars. Because what you just expressed, Patrick, right? If I need to translate it's a piece of cake into Spanish to make sense to someone in Peru, something about the expression from English is going to get lost in that translation, even if I'm doing it to the most faithful of my abilities, right? I mean, NRSV, NIV, these are all done by committees of people who spend years researching these words and looking at different texts and different versions that have been passed down and trying to figure out what's the best way to do this. And yet they're going to put something in a way that was perhaps not intended by the original language. And in the midst of that, this is what I think is most important for us. In the midst of that, the word of God continues to be present and living and breathing. Like that process of translation, God is present in that process just as God was present in the process of the words being written originally.
Yeah, I think these are all helpful clues and ideas of how we approach the Bible. But I think what God also truly desires is us to approach the Bible.
Yes.
And approach it with wonder and mystery. And sometimes you read things that don't make any sense. Sometimes you'll read a story in the Old Testament where you're like, wow, I just don't really understand God here. And I think that's okay. That's okay to walk away from the Bible confused. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes as Americans, we want to walk away from the Bible assured. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily the case every time. Sometimes it's okay to walk away from the Bible being like, I don't understand. And that's why it's helpful to explore it in a community where you can say, I don't get this. Mm-hmm. What does somebody else think? Mm-hmm. And what do other people, what do people who maybe know more or study more or understand more, what do they know? So it's helpful to go to a church where hopefully a pastor has been trained in biblical languages and can understand a greater sense of cultural context that we do not have access to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would warn us, right, that you can look in the Bible and find support for virtually any stance that you want to take.
Sure.
You can find biblical support for owning slaves. You can find biblical support for not owning slaves.
And both slave owners and abolitionists use the Bible as support for their point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. And that continues to happen today, right? And so we have to just be aware that the scripture that we are reading is a living and breathing thing that God continues to speak to us as a people through this text. And that just because I am seeing things one way does not mean that it's the only way that that text can be taken or that it should be taken.
Sure.
That somewhere in the middle lies truth.
Well, I guess that leads us to our interview portion with Bible Besties.
All right. We hope you enjoy. We'll see you back here after this conversation. Welcome back to Beyond Sunday. We are here, Katie Phillips and myself, with Pastors Lauren Halad and Alex Hoops. Host of the Bible Besties podcast. Go ahead and say hi, guys.
Hello.
Greetings.
It's great to be on your show. Thank you. I don't know if you'll regret having us on or not.
Why would you say that about us? But, we're winsome, Lauren.
You're winsome.
Look, we do fine together. I help you. You help me. We're besties.
We're glad to be back with you all. We miss you, David Bowser.
Oh, well, thank you, Lauren.
I know David Bowser. I knew him when they called him David Bowser.
Right, back in the good old days.
It's the same thing, I guess, now. That's weird.
Yeah. So Lauren and Alex and I went to seminary together up in Columbus, Ohio. You all are now both in Cincinnati, Ohio, correct? What churches are you at?
That's right.
Where are you from, Lauren?
Well, I'm from Columbus, Ohio, but I'm down here in Cincinnati, Ohio, and the church I serve is in one of the suburbs of Cincinnati, Loveland, and I serve at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, and Alex is across town in Kenwood.
That's a street. Apparently, if you tell people like Kenwood, they're like, the mall. And I'm like, that ain't far off. I'm a Good Shepherd Lutheran Church across from the mall.
Alex's church is literally right across the street from like the most popular mall. And so Alex has a very convenient food court right there.
And I don't go to it that much because I don't need any help ballooning up. I'm a big fella.
We have gone to Red Robin a few times though and gotten burgers.
We?
Sure. We have.
We've gotten a burger there.
We're going to have to bleep out the product placement. I'm not sure we're allowed
you
to
don't,
do that.
No, I can do whatever I want. Taco Bell, Mountain Dew, Dr. Pepper, Sweet Tart.
You guys are co-hosting Bible Besties. Can you tell us a little bit what is Bible Besties and how did that podcast come about?
Well, that's a great question, David. I want to thank you so much for asking it because let me just tell you, Bible Besties. Bible Besties is an adventure through the Bible, the likes of which I think has never been attempted before, i.e. I attempt to retell the entire dang Bible from my memory and my friend Lauren here, like the guy with the fire extinguisher at the end of Evel Knievel's terrible jump is making sure when I catch on fire and fall off the bike and start making things up, he keeps me on track. And yeah, it's basically a big old long Bible stunt, if I could sum it up. But the point of it is to tell the Bible in the Bible storytelling tradition instead of just like, hi, we're three pastors. It's time for us to tell you what this means. Because that's preposterous often.
Yeah, kind of. But Bible Besties, as I kind of think about it, I think it was Alex's original idea. Alex has always been really good at telling stories. Alex, you can tell, or your listeners can probably already tell, he's an animated person, lots of energy. And there's a lot of voices that Alex can do. He's very talented in that. But Alex, throughout his ministry, had been telling Bible stories in creative and fun ways that help people grab hold of that. And I think, Alex, you first got the idea to do the show when you were in Haiti, leading a nightly devotion. And you told a story in a way that just grabbed the young adults on the trip's attention in a new way. And somebody gave Alex the feedback, like, you should do that more often. That really helped me connect with the story.
Right.
And so Alex had that idea, like, well, maybe we could do a podcast. We were formerly both co-hosts on the show To Hell with a Hot Dish. And so we were already in the podcasting medium. But Alex is like, I have this idea. What do you think? And so I did, a little bit of research out there looking in the Christian podcast world. And it seemed to me that there's a lot of podcasts. It's a growing medium. There's a lot of shows like yours that take ministry people, professionals. They talk about ministry. They talk about faith. Sure. They talk about life. Yep. But when it comes to Bible podcasts, what I found were one of two types of shows, really three. One, they were mega churches and their sermons, their teachings.
Yep, sure.
And so they usually have a big audience, but they're centered around one or two preaching voices. The other types of shows were really not up my alley, but they were like, we're going to read the Bible to you. And, in 30 days or 365 days, it's just a voice reading the Bible to you, which I guess is really useful. They make Bibles like read the Bible in 30 days. That's
I had one with James Earl Jones. It was powerful.
Yeah, that's basically the audio version.
Sure.
Or
I'd listen to James Earl Jones read the Bible.
Oh, my gosh. It's just like Mufasa showed up and was like, the Bible. And you're like, yes, get it, lion.
Or the third style that was out there was really in-depth. Deep theological Bible study unpacking.
Good podcast.
You know, and based with all different theologies and all different ways of interpretation. But what we didn't see was a Bible podcast or a Bible show out there that explored the Bible through narrative and story, especially not through the lens of creative storytelling. And so one of the things that motivates Alex and I, and that, you know, we all learned in seminary, is that these ancient stories of the people of God were handed down first through oral tradition. These were stories before they were written down on papyrus and paper. These were stories that were shared from family to family, shared around campfires. And we thought, you know, what if we kind of approached Bible stories in a way that brought back the oral tradition, that gave ourselves permission to embellish, to add creative liberties for the point of helping the stories connect with an audience that might not show up on a Sunday to one of our churches and come to a Bible study. You know, we're millennials. We're young pastors. And so a lot of our friends, and David, you probably, you know, both of you probably feel this way. We've got lots of friends that don't come to church and aren't going to come to a Bible study. And so part of our hope was that the audience of our show, people would be open to these stories in fresh ways if they're told in a totally entertaining, funny, and yet kind of backhandedly pointed, poignant way.
It's that's, that perhaps is like the best part of it, is hearing somebody say like, oh, I never heard like that point of the story elevated. And you think like, oh, it's they probably mean the helicopter bits and the Genesis that you told. And I'm like,
WWE scene.
When Macho Man Randy Savage showed up. But they're not talking about that. They're actually talking about like kind of the themes. They're just like, I've never heard the story. Like, I've heard the Hagar story, and I totally understood it was unfair. But like, you really illuminated this perspective of like indentured servitude, of this this culture that could just claim this slave as bride. You know, you're just like, if I told you the story of someone who was enslaved and then the master married them and had a child with them, you'd go, yuck.
Yeah.
But we read in the Bible, we're like, and Abraham impregnated Hagar because they were married. And everyone's like, I'm like, yo, dude, yo, that was awful. And we lean into, we try not to hide from it. Like, there's times in the show where I'm like, and this story is gross.
Well, one of the things we 2 points there. Alex is fond of saying that sometimes it feels like, and I don't know if you guys feel this way, but sometimes it feels like the Bible reads, especially the Old Testament, it reads as cliff notes. It's like, this happened, and then this happened, and then this. Mm-hmm. What we try to do is add color to those pages, to imagine and wonder.
And play with play with motivation, you know?
In the tradition of like the Hebrew Midrash kind of thing.
Yeah. Right. And that's what was cool, was there were some people who I forget who it was, somebody made a comment that Lauren knows, and his whole like, his whole line of study is professional.
Oh, Corey Driver.
Right.
Corey Driver.
He's into this like rabbinic studies into Hebrew scriptures. And he was the one who's like, I like this. This is actually very on point to some things that I've never heard Christians talk about.
Yeah.
Sure. And I was like, well, it's obvious. Like, if you read this, I mean, if you take it out of the, this is a book to not be meddled with. And by meddled with, I mean, you can't even take it out of its holy day that you read it, or its holy moments where you engage it. Or you can't, we treat it like a sandbox, right? Like, it's something that you should be able to create in that space, not something that you can't invite anybody into. And what you do is you end up creating a culture when you do that, when you make it so holy that some people will say, like, I didn't know you could ask that. Or I didn't know it was okay to wonder about that. Or I don't know if it's appropriate to think that Abraham, who is just so revered, could be like a dimwit. Well, you're like, well, he kind of is sometimes. He's a person. And if you put it in this holy case where you can't do that, I think you're missing some of the main point of this, which is these are people, and you are supposed to relate to this. You are. It's real. And that's why we play with it, because I'm like, if we don't let this inspire curiosity, then what it's going to just do is inspire just dogmatic obedience to what will later make some ridiculous claims about how you can treat people. Oh, I'm sorry. Property that happens to be people. And I'm like, geez, Louise, if we just take this exactly as it is, then people are trash if they don't think like you. Or they're not from where you're from. Or they're not the right gender. Or they're not the right faith tradition as you. Then you can completely dismiss them. Which, as we see in Jesus, it's like, nah, dude, God ain't about vengeance. You know, like, this isn't what God's into. We're reading it from that tradition. Obviously, we're colored by that as people who believe in this tradition of Jesus, you know. So, yeah, that's what happened.
So what all is your response to those who would say, you know, this is dismissing kind of the sacredness of Scripture? How do you respond to that critique, I guess?
Yeah, no, and we've gotten that critique. We had a couple of reviews left on iTunes early on, you know, from folks who I think are very well-meaning, who wrote, and I you know, it's funny because you don't know when you don't have a face-to-face conversation with someone, but we did get a couple reviews where people are like, so what you're saying is that you can tell the Bible better than the Bible tells itself? Like, this is kind of wrong. Like, you're taking too many creative liberties. You're adding color to that story, And I'm fond of saying, we have this banter on the show back and forth where at the end of an episode, Alex will ask, you know, how did I do? And I'll give him a grade and I'll say, you did pretty well, or you did great. Right. And I'll say, and don't forget, don't forget, folks, you know, you can read this story too. You can read this, and Alex will joke, and Alex will say, no, I don't think you need to.
I told you
what it is. And I said, no, I think you should read your Bible. We don't pretend that our show or the way that we're doing this is replacing Bible study. I just think what we're doing is basically VeggieTales for a different audience. Like, you know, VeggieTales was a show about vegetables that acted out Bible stories so kids could understand them. And so what we're more interested in is helping people encounter the truth in the story without staying in the strict lines of every word written on the page. And so we're always taking it from that approach of, this is the inspired word of God. God's word is, you know, Luther said that the scriptures are the cradle that holds the Christ child, you know, like, and so we don't worship the Bible. Like, the Bible isn't worshiped. Like, you know, Christ is worshiped, who's revealed through the Bible. And so, you know, if we can help people understand the story of Jacob, you know, you referenced it earlier, David, Genesis 32, you know the story well, you know, it's the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord by the river Jabbok. His name's changed to Israel, God wrestler. Well, we thought, how can we tell that story in a fun way? Well, duh, Macho Man Randy Savage in a WWE cage match. Like,
obviously.
Wrestling. And so what we hope is you're entertained. We hope you're thoroughly entertained by the way Alex tells the story and the sound effects that are put in.
Yeah,
but that,
shout out to your tech guys on the back.
Jonathan, Mixmaster Jay's our hero. But he makes the show, like, so tolerable.
But what we hope that people get out of that, you know, at a greater level is this sense, I understand the story now. But we'd also don't hide the fact that by the way we're telling the story, we are using our interpretation skills
for sure
to tell the story in a certain way. We're not just reading words off the page. But newsflash to the critics out there, that's what your pastor does
every
week.
You do the same thing.
That's what your pastor, she does this every week, right? When she or he preaches, she is not just reading the word, she's unpacking it, interpreting it through the theological lens that they have.
With all faithfulness, no shame.
With all faithfulness. Yeah. So we honestly try, outside of how Alex tells the story and the creative liberties that are taken, we try not to do a whole lot of theologizing or explaining or you know, we've actually never on air mentioned that we're pastors, we're ordained. We've been to seminary. That's not even something that we like put out there as like credibility for people to listen. Because that's not our interest. We're not trying to
tell you what it means. I'm trying to say that this thing is really cool. I mean, really the whole theme at the beginning and on is like, hey, this book is referenced constantly throughout culture in the world. It is the biggest flipping deal. And nobody's read the whole dang thing because it gets real boring. And then you do it this way to go, hey, guess what you've done, buddy? You've read four chapters. Like, well, look what you've done. You've read all of Genesis. Look what you've done. Because we're trying to do it as friends. We're not trying to do it as like, hi, we're your teachers of what this means. We wrestle with it because I go, what the heck are we supposed to do with that? Like, we joke about before Noah happened. I said, and next week, oofa doofa, get ready. We're going to talk about a catastrophic genocide that often decorates the rooms of infants. So there's that.
And here's Noah. Yeah.
Terrible thing. But like, I don't mean to say now it's time for a real meaningful lesson on how God taught this guy something by drowning people.
I'm curious though, David, because you listen to you've listened to the show. Like,
I have. Yeah.
Ooh. How we
long time listener, you know, first time caller.
We live really closely to it because it's something we create. But curious, you know. Does that sound like what we've created to you? Does that sound accurate?
You're probably like, no, that's not what you've made.
Yeah, how do you, what do we not know about the show that you do because you're a listener?
No, that's a great point. I've really appreciated that it's a way for me to, like you said, share it with people who otherwise are looking for a way to get into Scripture. So, you know, we've got people in our context all the time who are saying, I want to know the Bible more. Mm-hmm. I want ways to share the stories with my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, and I want a way for them to engage it. I think, Katie, you've listened to a couple of the episodes in the car with your kids.
And I love that as a mom who drives a lot and has kids in the car, that I can listen to it. And my kids are even listening and they're getting it too.
Yeah.
That might be my favorite thing I've ever heard.
It's great. Yeah. And they laugh and they think things are funny. And I love it. I love it.
Yeah. So it becomes a great tool for us on the outside, right? To say, you know, I know you're interested in getting into Scripture. I mean, one, like, you know, here at Lord of Life, we are starting a Bible in 90 Days class. So, cool. Like, hey, you want to do this? Dive in. Let's do this. You want something that's a little bit different, a style, something that you can listen to, kind of ease into this? Then go check out this great Bible Besties podcast. You know, that's one of the reasons we wanted to do this interview, because we've found it so valuable in my own life over the past couple months that you all have been doing this. And just as a tool to share with people, it's hopefully another way for people to enter into this conversation. And I think, you know, Lauren, I've really appreciated you just saying, go look it up at the end, right? It reminds me of like the old endings of Reading Rainbow. Right? You know, like you can look in a book. Like,
don't
you can find out whatever you want to know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, you know, you get this great introduction, and I think to myself, man, I don't remember, you know, Randy Savage showing up in the Bible. Was that? And so I can go back and I can, like, look at this story and see what it is that's in the Scripture, and, you know, kind of understand what are the highlights and the emphases that you all drew out of that to help myself better interpret Scripture for my life and for my context.
That right there makes me, like, the kids hearing it and then you saying, like, I want to go back and look to see where they got that from, makes me happy, because when we hatched this thing, it was we were just playing around with it. But the coolest thing I heard that made me think this might be something neat was some of Lauren's youth, when we were talking, I think we were doing Cain and Abel. When I was telling the story, as I remember Cain being engaged with by God before Cain does the bad thing, is he was bummed out about his offering not being regarded so highly. So I joked and said, so he's walking around and God's like, what are you moping about? Jeez, you're just pouting. And he's like, I'm not, you know, like, and I remembered that vividly from my own childhood of hearing this story and from somebody who'd read it, you know, and then to hear someone say, oh, they were cracking up because they were reading along with what you said. And in the Bible, it says, God saw and he asked Cain, why is your face fallen? And I went, what a ridiculous way to ask, why are you pouting?
Right.
Like, what are you moping about?
Why are you so salty, man?
What is your whole deal? And that's cool because the kid just went, if a kid read, why is your face fallen? What?
What
does that even mean?
What does that even mean?
Yeah, one of my favorite things, you know, I feel like, you know, Alex is Alex. Without Alex, there's no Bible Besties. Alex has,
you know,
the genius
and sweet boy.
It's so true, though. But one of the things that I've enjoyed so much, because one of the reasons we created the show, too, is really for ourselves, because, you know, it is a discipline to be in the Word and be in these stories. And I can tell you from just finishing all of Genesis, having done the show, I understand Genesis so much better now because we've traveled through it. And one of the reasons is because Alex, throughout each episode, has done really remarkable character development for these biblical figures that are around for a while. Jacob is around for a while. Abraham is around for a while.
Can we talk to Jacob a little bit? Is Jacob around?
He's Alton Brown.
He's based off of Alton Brown from the Food Network.
because he's the baby. He's baby and he cooks real well. And so, he's kind of like crafty. So I gave him like I'm going to cook this halibut. And the way you got to do it is you got to set your oven to, you know, like you just turn it up a little bit into your nose. And now I'm Jacob. And Jacob is a very crafty.
Very contrasted from his brother Esau.
Esau is like the big red one. So he was always talking like this because he's very big and handsome and covered in red hair. You know, like he was big. So, yeah. And the voices thing, literally, as much credit as Lauren gives me, it's not like I'm sitting here like practicing this in a microphone. Like, this is how I talk to people. Like, if I talk about Lauren, about Lauren, I'll like unknowingly put on like a Lauren face. I don't know what a Lauren face is, but what I do is I inevitably imitate the things. So when I think of people, I don't think of them like, and then the man said, and then the man said, and then since God doesn't have like a thing, and since, let's all be honest, we all think we are God. God has a pretty similar voice to mine, which is just like, hey, so I was thinking, why don't you go walking, Abram? Get to stepping, dude. And then Jonathan is a genius and is like, yeah, it can't just be your voice. And he adds this echo behind it where it's like booming. And he's like, Abram. And it's like, whoa. You know, like, it's cool. And I think that's not something that I'll admit, no esteem needed or anything or accolades, because it's just like a happenstance. I'm like, oh, they need a voice. And like Noah being Australian is literally because I'd seen the Noah movie with Russell Crowe. And that's just a joke. Like, that was just me being like, and then who am I going to pick to build this boat? That Russell Crowe looking dude, you know? And it's like, yes, Lord, how can I help you with your boat? You know, like, and that's just because I think it's funny that he's Russell Crowe.
So a while back you all mentioned kind of the contrast of preaching every week, that, you know, every week pastors across the country are doing this act of interpretation. And, you know, you all know as well as I do, and Katie from preparing Bible studies and things like that for kids, you've got to make choices, right? I mean, you've got 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes in our contexts to kind of get across a point when there could be hundreds, if not dozens, or if not thousands of points that could be pulling out from the scripture on any given week. So when you all come across a particular story, you know, you're giving a very particular perspective of that story. So how do you land on the perspective that you want to offer? And have you ever thought about going back and saying, well, here's, you know, like the ending to the old Clue movie, or it could have happened this way, right? Or it could have happened this way.
How do you think about that, Alex? Because it seems like when Alex shows up to record, we usually record in my office or sometimes his office. We've done a couple in Minnesota in a hotel room, but that's a whole nother story. But
it's not as exciting or scandalous as you'd think. Yeah. But there's just a little.
But most of the time, when Alex shows up, Alex will skim over the story in the Bible.
Lauren's got one.
I have the Bible open during every episode. So I have the Bible open. I'm following along.
You've got the guardrails
and
up.
And I usually ask him maybe 5 or 6 times, like, are you ready? Are you sure you're ready? Do you have what you're going to do? And then he just does it. And I don't know. Like, have you given a lot of thought to it?
No, admittedly. Okay, so this is not
that's
about...
That's so reassuring. I appreciate this.
This is not about me, like, tooting my own horn. This is the thing I'm actually pretty good at, is remembering stories I've heard. What I don't know why that is. It's why, like, I snink at people's names. And you'll hear that in the thing. I'm like, Jibbon, Jaffa, Surfer, Stirfer, Joppern, Jibbern. I don't know their names.
That was Noah's third son,
Right. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's hard. But I do remember people's stories. I mean, individuals I meet. Like, I am so hungry for people's story. And the reason is because it's just, I don't know, it's like curiosity.
But with the question,
but the Bible, the Bible, the reason I start going at it is it always comes from, like, who is going to be the character that carries on from here? What is the thread? And always, there's some already, like, assessment I'm doing on my own, is I'm not going to start the story of Abraham
and solely focus on anyone but Abraham or Sarah, because they're the key for multiple chapters. So then what I highlight is, I would say this is sort of like reader response, like criticism sort of, I'm like, why did they tell me this? The Bible's been passed on. It's incredible that it exists as we have it today. It is unreal, the amount of sacrifice, effort, sweat, work to get it where it is now in history. That you can go to the Dead Sea Scrolls. In the Isaiah Scroll, it's the same dang thing. You know, that's astonishing. So with great, great like care as we give and goofing around with it, equally as much I give to like, it got here and included these things. So why would they share this with me?
Yeah.
It's like we just, it's what every pastor I think has to do, or at least I'm speaking for people. What's wrong with me? I do that with a reading. So we just had the reading where Jesus gets up in front of the temple and proclaims the year of the Lord's favor. Now for me, I'm asking, why do they include him rolling it up, handing it to an attendant, and sitting down, and every eye is on him? Those details aren't always used. Like, it's not like they're always like, what'd Jesus do then with the thing he was holding in his hand? What? Yeah. That's not... But they have sought to keep that. So for me, I think it's fascinating that everyone is gawking at him. So when I'm telling that story, I'm telling it from the perspective of an audience going, why do I care that he handed it off? Because he didn't finish. He quit reading in the middle of it. So Abraham, why does it include him talking about his fear of his wife getting taken by Egyptians and married off? Well, because he's got some like clear existing understanding of who Egyptians are, including a cultural bias, including this. So I'm going to include that, that Abraham had an opinion about what Egyptians are.
Yeah.
And Egyptians are going to murder me and marry my wife. True or not, which, like, okay, maybe, let's include that. So I say, and Abraham had some opinions about Egyptians, because he did. So it's all about picking the character that I think is going to go forward, and then trying to understand motivation for what's included. And me loving stories, I'm just guessing then, like, this means something if it's here. If it made it this many thousand years to get into my hand, it counts.
Well, and the second part to your question, though, David, have you ever gone through one way of telling it and then thought, let's do it different? The answer to that is yes. There have been many episodes. I feel like I admittedly don't have that big of a role on the show. But one of the things one of the things that I try to do is the first time, sometimes we're a one-take episode. You know, it is gold. It is wonderful. Alex does an amazing job the first time we record. But there have been a number of episodes where we've gone through a whole episode. Alex has done it. And when we're done recording, I say, okay, we're going to do it again. Explore this plot line. Do more character development here.
Yeah,
maybe
sure.
Focus on this point. And so it's this dialogue between Alex and I to get it toward that final episode.
And
so
we've redone those ones. There's
we've
energy
redone, yeah, we've redone many, many episodes to either improve or to take a new direction.
Sure.
A few of the episodes at the end of it, I'll say, yeah, you told it that way, but could it have been this or could it have been that?
Yeah.
And Alex will usually get really defensive that he did the right way.
For the record, that's a gag. Like, it's got to be entertaining.
Yeah, it's just entertainment. But yeah, for sure, that you know.
How dare you?
We could go back and do every single Genesis episode with a totally different angle.
Oh, completely, yeah.
You know, and that's part of what is so, I think, captivating for, you know, billions of people around the world about the Bible. Like, you
I thought you were going to say about your podcast.
No.
Your listenership has really grown.
Because I think one of the things that draws us to the Bible and these stories is that we hear things new and fresh. And, I don't read the Bible the same way today that I did a week ago. You can read the same story over and over and yet you can find something new in there. And sometimes it just jumps out at you.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we think about it.
And usually when we do it over again, it's because you've identified I had energy at something. And sometimes what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to honor all those points, that I'm saying, like, they included this
It should be there. It should somehow have, like, at least a wink at it, you know? Mm-hmm. So sometimes I do too much. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like, it then... The thing I've critiqued about, like, our style of interpreting it just as it's written, don't go any deeper. The Bible says, I believe that's that. You know, like, that's the bumper sticker, you know? And I'm like, okay, I'm doing that now by bullet pointing this thing because I'm trying to include everything to get to the point. Mm-hmm, it's like, then lean into the thing that actually seems to have some ambiguity. Lean into the thing that makes you wonder, like, is this gross? Is this appropriate? Like, it's not necessary to always make the butt joke or something, but you can when it's part of this larger thing of, like, there is a strangeness, an otherness to the Bible because of where it is in time. So wherever the energy leads is usually where it goes, because admittedly we're truthfully entertaining ourselves.
Well, and I think a lot of people, you know, some people are just not going to be into our show.
That's fair.
And,
sure.
And that, and I have members of my church that have checked it out and do not care for it, because they just have a different piety, you know.
And granted, I shouted at them about it pretty aggressively.
But their piety about, you know, how they understand or approach scripture or these sacred stories is one that is just. It's just different than mine.
It's fair.
And it's fair, and we honor that. It might not be a show for everyone. Some people don't like, because even though we do talk about serious things and we do call out things in the show that are injustices, we do take a comical approach to the Bible. And so some people just aren't up for that. But I would argue that there are, 100 times more shows, podcasts, blogs, Bible studies out there that take a serious approach. Sure. And so, you know.
That's available. Well, yeah. If that's what they're looking for, someone's doing that.
So,
and here's another perspective for someone who's not listening to that other style.
Well, the coolest feedback early on was some friends of Alex or former college, you know, people
like
in college
that
have not been in church and are not church. Do you want to tell that story?
Yeah, the best feedback, I think, is when people are like, I would never, ever listen to a Bible podcast. It doesn't even spark a bit of curiosity. However, they know me and stuff, and they're like, what is Alex doing? He's kind of loud and funny. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my gosh, it is so funny. And it's also so cool to hear these stories that are referenced in culture, repeated in popular culture, in media, and you're doing it and highlighting that on purpose, going, does this sound all familiar? Like, because it is. And they're going, it's so fun. It's actually like an engaging thing. And I'm going to say it, like, culturally, we have the world at our fingertips now. No one's like, man, I sure don't want to learn nothing no more. Like, most people are interested in the resources afforded by the internet and like the social network that allows us to connect with other people's passions. I don't know. I just think that's a cool takeaway from it, is people that have straight up said, I wouldn't listen to this.
Yeah.
But let me recommend it to people who also wouldn't, because it's worth it, because it's very entertaining.
And it's very different.
And I've never heard someone name the injustice in a Bible podcast and say, ooh, this is hairy. Like, this is suspect. We even casually say, so Eve ate it, and he ate it too. Let's get that straight. He was into it. It wasn't like, eat this, my precious. Like a trick or something. It was like, I heard good things about this fruit. And he's like, let me get some too. So, that's in there. Not like, she gave it to him, but it didn't say, he goes, ma'am, please, you can't give me this. Don't you know? And she's like, it's a trick, you know? That's not in there. So we do it honestly, and that people are like, thanks for actually naming things, and thanks for actually wrestling with it. And at the same time, you're right. There is a really good, like, value being expressed here that I wholeheartedly agree with, which is that we shouldn't act like we're God. And I'm like, no kidding. What a great idea.
So how can people get a hold of you or get more information on the podcast?
My cell phone number. No, I'm just kidding.
So, we're in the iTunes store, on Spotify, right? SoundCloud.
Yep.
All of those. Anywhere you get a podcast, just search Bible Besties. We also have a website, BibleBesties.com. where you can get all those links.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah.
So we like to wrap up every episode by offering our listeners a recommendation, something from our own lives that's kind of informing where we are right now. Sometimes it's a song or movie, book, etc. We'd love if one or both of you wanted to offer a recommendation for us today.
I'm in the thick of The Answer to How is Yes by Peter Block.
The Answer to How is Yes?
Yes, it is dope. Okay.
I'm actually, okay. This is crazy.
Are you reading Peter Block?
No, yeah, I'm reading.
Shut up, he's amazing.
Because he lives here. In Cincinnati.
Did you guys just become best friends? This
so,
is great.
I'm
are
reading,
you besties?
I'm reading Peter Block, Understanding Community.
I have that on my list because Peter Block is crushing it in my book. This guy's got wisdom. I want him to be my rabbi. I want to be covered in his dust.
Well, hey guys, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us. We'll be posting some links to the Bible Besties podcast on our website as well as on our Facebook page when this comes out. And from me personally, I love what y'all are doing. Mm-hmm. Keep up the good work, and we really appreciate it. So thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. It's an honor to sit down with you guys, and thanks for what you're doing with your show.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Go team.
Can we get a Bible Besties farewell before we sign off?
Bye-bye.
All right, we hope you enjoyed that conversation with Pastors Lauren and Alex. We want to give our huge thanks for the entire Bible Besties crew to help us make that possible. Be sure to check their latest episodes out on iTunes, along with all the episodes of Beyond Sunday. You, of course, can find more information about us at beyondsundaypodcast.com or on our Facebook page, Beyond Sunday Podcast.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you.